That's basically the exact thing that Master Sergeant told me. Anyways, Ronnie, if this guy's needing in on the repeater, again, he's non-intelligible at all. We'll let him have it. And I need to go out and check the chickens and mow the grass. And, boy, it's been a pleasure talking to you this morning. And anytime you hear me, jump in there. And anybody else is welcome, because we leave space in between transmissions. And we don't mean to hog the repeater. And if you need in, just throw your call out there. 73's Ronnie. Yeah, you have a wonderful and blessed Easter, and I'll catch you down the line. Kilowatt 2, Sierra Sierra Tango, and 0TR. Clear on your final.
Quite often I'm on Mount Mitchell. I bother Steve a lot on Mount Mitchell. I leave the 2-meter run scan, and if I'm in here, anybody comes on, I'll respond to them. It's been a pleasure talking to you. I really enjoyed it, and perhaps we'll do something again sometime. K2SST is clear.
Hey, Jim, Tom, and Ronnie, I just want to say thank you for your service and your knowledge, and thank you. It means a lot that y'all served and sacrificed for this country, and you paved the way for young ones like me. So, 73, gentlemen, have a great day.
Well, thank you, Bill, and glad to talk to you anytime. It's nice to hear a signal from down there. Maybe someday we can visit you. I've only been to Lake Hartwell once, and I'm not able to do a whole lot anymore, but we could probably make it that far. And again, you're welcome to come up here, and I'll show you my station, my antennas, and maybe Bernice will fix us a good meal. See you later. This is N0TR, QRT.
Well, if you were born earlier, you could have been as fortunate as we were. You could have gotten a personalized letter from the president. It says, greetings and salutations. You have been selected, but you were born too late, so you can't get one of those letters. K2SST.
I can get one of those letters, but I did volunteer and stand in that red room and raise my right hand and pledge to defend the Constitution. I was a medic for 8 years, so, but that was in the 80s, so I was a little behind everybody else.
You did what you're supposed to do. You got a great country to live in, and you should do what you can to support it. So, you did what you should, and it's paying off. Now, if we could get the politicians to do what they're supposed to do, we'd all be happy. Hey, I got to get back to work here. K2SST will be clear, and I'm going to QRT because I got to get something done.
I appreciate it. Good to talk to you. 73, have a great day.
What service was you in? Wow. I'm just getting ready to walk out. Well, bless you, too. I wasn't no hero, but you medics were given a 45 and a backpack and sent out there. But I remember the guys that wanted to be medics. And all at once, when they got out of boot camp, they went to the Fleet Marine Corps, I think at Pendleton. And they wore Navy stripes, but they were in the Marine Corps from the rest of the time. God bless them. Wow. That was a shock, though, I'll bet you.
Marine Corps medics are from the Navy, and but we all trained together for our medic training, at least in the 80s, at Fort Sam Houston in San Antonio, Texas. And they had every service represented there. It was quite an experience. One I'll never forget. But like you said, yeah, when you get done, they give you a 45 and a backpack to go with your rucksack, and you sort of got to learn as you go and play the game.
I'll tell you that that's a rough go. Really, although I love my 45, they are the best thing in the world that ever happened. Thank you, John Browning. Up in Kansas, anyways, back when I used to shoot. It is a fine caliber, but a lot of those were shot out the time they got back. And they used to say, well, you couldn't hit the broadside of a barn door with a 45, Tom. And I'd say, yeah, unless it's accurized. And then that's what won all the matches up at Camp Perry, was those and the M1 Grands.
Admit the 45s were not too accurate at distance, but that's a big hunk of lead flying out if you need to shoot it. And the M1 Garand, that's a rifle. A friend of mine that runs a little gun store here in Hartwell has one that he keeps in there. It's his personal one, and I always have to look at it when I go in. It just calls to me. It's a real rifle compared to stuff they got out today.
Comment.
Roger, on the comment, acknowledge. Well, I'll tell you, I have a friend, a very dear friend that I don't get to see hardly ever, that was in the Korean War, that lives north of me here. And I won't mention his name because of security. And you don't want to say who's got guns, who don't. But he's got two of them from Korea with his unit and that emblazoned on the side of them. And I think the world and all of him. And he showed me those. And they were Grands. I had a 1903 A3 Springfield for many years. Good weapon. So I'm going to let the comment go, Bill, and then you can take him back. And great to hear you again. I need to get out there before my chicken starved to death. It's in 0TR. Go ahead, comment.
You war if it gets anything done. 45 wasn't good at distance, but the 45 cartridges used to come in a little brown cardboard box. Empty the box out, load the clip, take the box, and then walk it along the ground. If you fired at 45 enough, you could hit things at, I think, maybe 20 feet. I don't know. I'm not sure the distance, but I think it was around 20 feet, maybe 25 feet, some idea. We could hit stuff. We put the ammo, throw the boxes out, walk back, and then start walking them. You can't hit things with the 45. The best thing about it, fortunately, I didn't have to shoot at anybody. I was in a school. But if they say with a 45, a near miss is just like a direct hit.
If 45 bullet come that close to me, I'd at least probably have to clean out my trousers.
I'm going to try and get off here, but you want to be somewhere where there's a ricochet. And when there is a ricochet, if you're at a vantage point, you see people in all kinds of positions. Somebody's starting to reach somewhere. Somebody's getting ready to take a step, and they just freeze. They don't move, because maybe if I move, I'll move into the path of that ricochet. And you hear, that went by. Didn't hit me.
Ronnie, back in Kansas when I had a 45 Gold Cup National Match pistol, I could bust Blue Rock at the 50-yard dump, that we called it, from a bench rest with a sandbag. And so they sure beat the heck out of the ones issued to people like Bill there. Go ahead, Bill.
These were issued were relics, but our doctor had one that had been armaturized, and we would use it to qualify, and you could actually score a high score qualifying with it once it had been worked on. So they can be a very, very good gun. I've owned several throughout the years, and still think a lot of them. even though I wish I could get my hands on old military ones, as crazy and as bad as they are, I'd like to have one just to have it.
Running left now, but yeah, they're an excellent firearm if you have them accurized, or if you buy that gold cup, it's already that way. But of course, when you got machine tools now that go down in tenths of a thousands, there's a lot of difference in what you can get out there nowadays than then. My neighbor bought an Argentine Colt. He had to be careful, and this was many years ago, back in the 80s. And he said, Tom, you don't want a Colt that was built in Argentina. You want a Colt that is built for Argentina. He says the ones that they built under patent that was given to them in Argentina were junk. But he had an Argentine Colt, and I've shot it, and they work very well.
Some nice ones from different places, and you know, even like I said, with the machine and even the factory ones these days, once you get them and break them in, they shoot well. I had a Kimber 1911 Pro Compact Series 2 for a while, and when I first got it, it would jam stovepipe, and after a few hundred rounds, it got where it would fire without any problem. So it just needed breaking in.
Yeah, you could take the gold cups like I did and change the springs out. They were meant for light loads, like a 200 grain lead bullet for target shooting, or even all the flat nose ones, the white cutters. They punch a real nice hole in the target, but you could change the springs out, and they worked exceedingly well. And I never did have problems with stovepipes in it. But that is a great cartridge for self-defense. And you don't need any bigger. You really don't need any smaller. The FBI used to... I had the FBI reports, and they used to test them on everything from cadavers to goats. And I had the results of all of those and compared them to... for example, the 9mm. Now, Bill, the ammunition nowadays with these, like the Hornady makes a self-defense load, and Goldot spears are out there, and Winchesters, and that are specifically tailored to that self-defense thing. In 9mm, they're getting as much penetration and expansion as the 45. But during our years, the government, well, even now, I think your entry teams in that carry 45s a lot rather than the 9. I know the SEAL teams did. But they get away from it because of the weight, and most cops can't shoot worth a darn, so they got to have 15 or 16 or more cartridges in there, is my explanation.
The spray and pray with bullets is prevalent today. The but with the 45 and an accurate aim, it could do the business. 9mm is good, don't get me wrong. That's my EDC, and I don't anticipate any issues if I ever have to use it. Hopefully, pray to God I don't. But if it's between me and coming home for dinner, it's me coming home for dinner.
I always say criminals around South Carolina, if they can't run over 1,000 foot a second, they're in deep stuff. especially up in the farming country where we're at. Anyways, Bill, gotta go. And I just had to comment on that. You can hit good with a 45 nowadays, but back in the old generations when all of those were coming back from World War II and that, there were some clunkers out there. Have a good day, Bill. This is OTR Clear.
Go feed the chickens and do whatever else you need to do. 73. This is M4WHM. I'll be clear.